have the great privilege now to hear the word of the Lord again. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. If you remember, the context is Israel, the northern kingdom, is now in exile in Assyria. And the last king of Judah, which we come back to here, in the southern kingdom, was Ahaz, the great evil king. 2 Kings chapter 18, we're reading the entire chapter, 1 through 37. These are the words of God. Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. Now in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. At the end of 3 years, they captured it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was captured. And the king of Assyria carried Israel away into exile to Assyria and put them in Halah and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, even all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. They would neither listen nor do it. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. So the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver which was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts from Hezekiah, king of Judah, that he had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Then the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rebshekah from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a large army to Jerusalem. So they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they went up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the right, on the highway of the fuller's field. When they called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then Rabshakeh said to them, Say now to Hezekiah, Thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, What is this confidence that you have? You say, but they are only empty words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom do you rely, that you have rebelled against me? Now behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore come, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah, and said to Rabshakeh, speak now to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. And do not speak with us in Judean, and hear in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me only to your master, and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? And Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean, saying, hear the word of the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me, and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree, and drink each of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Shepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people were silent and answered him not a word. The king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Thus far, and the holy word of God. I remember, again, in Judah, Ahaz had reigned and had done unspeakable things as king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, walking in the ways of those nations that Israel was supposed to kick out of Canaan, all the way back in Joshua when they entered. But now, chapter 18, fresh reform comes under Hezekiah, who did, verse 3, right in the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah even removed the high places, which many before him failed to do. If you remember, chapter after chapter of the kings of Judah, they did right in the sight of the Lord, but they failed to remove the high places. Hezekiah removed them. Verse 4, he did much more destroying those things people were using to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Verse 5 even gives a hint that this man was bringing the kingdom back to the days when David was king. It even says in verse 3, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Usually it would say some other of Judah's kings that weren't as, we might say, great as David, who weren't as bad as David, or who were worse than David. But they didn't live up to the highest point of the kingdom that was David. But here, Hezekiah is labeled with David. He's not a king like, there was not a king, it says, like him before or after he reigned, because he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following after the Lord, but kept his commandments. And oh, if only that would be said of his people today. You think Hezekiah's reign, in light of the last 150 years, this under his reign would be almost too good to be true. especially after Ahaz, the evil king, the most evil king of Judah ever. And so we see a great contrast. You see, this is, some ways we might say, David part two, before Jesus comes. And yet there is darkness, because the writer reminds us, verses 9 to 16, of what was going on in the northern kingdom, in Israel, that it was led away into exile. And that was during the reign of Hezekiah. In that context, Hezekiah, verse 7, rebelled against the king of Assyria. And because Hezekiah rebelled, verse 13, the Assyrians attacked and seized all the fortified cities of Judah. So in 701 BC, things look terribly dark for Judah. Hezekiah is a godly man, and yet bad things are happening. But in the face of trying circumstances, just like we go through Hezekiah here, what does he do in trying circumstances? He should turn to the Lord, but he pleads with the Assyrian king to withdraw. And we see him draining the treasuries of the temple and his own house, the king's house, which in Scripture, at least before this, is a very negative thing. It's not a good thing. And so it seems that on this occasion, Hezekiah fails in faith in the time of trial. He fails in wisdom. In that regard, he's like David, who failed in his trying circumstances, at least in the temptations he faced. Hezekiah was under no loyalty, no oath to the king of Assyria. He was simply required to pay annual tribute to him. And yet, verses 17 to 25, the king seems to have reneged, the king of Assyria reneged on the whole thing. And his men are in Jerusalem. And they have a large army. And Hezekiah's folly is exposed. Why would he even trust the king of Assyria? And here's the army at his doorstep, ready to take Jerusalem over. Hezekiah should have trusted the Lord with which was that which was right along with what his faith is supposedly is at the beginning of the chapter. And he does have a strong faith, and yet here is just a couple failings. Just as we have faith, we fail all the time, and we have failed to trust the Lord and things. Consequences come about, so it has happened here with Hezekiah. And we see this Assyrian, Rabshakeh, being rather stupid in his language. He's speaking in the Judean tongue, not the Assyrian, so everybody can hear, even the people who he's about to attack or he's talking about with his men. They can hear what he's saying. And in speaking, what he speaks, he tries to undermine Hezekiah's leadership in four different times. Verse 29, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. The second time, verse 30, don't let Hezekiah make you trust in Yahweh. And the third time, verse 31, don't listen to Hezekiah. And then the fourth, verse 32, don't listen to Hezekiah for he misleads you. Rabshakeh is trying to use fear and intimidation to divide the people. But then he moves on to logic, at least his faulty logic, verse 33. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? And the answer to that is no, not up to that time. Verse 34, where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of the Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria from my hand? No. Verse 35, who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? And that word, deliver, we see in those verses and the preceding verses in this chapter, 9 times. The form of that word is used. What God has delivered them from the king of Assyria? In verse 35, the last part of it, Rabshakeh assumes Yahweh is just another simple deity. And at that, the people's response was silent. They did not answer him. because the king Hezekiah had commanded them not to answer. And that's the end of the chapter. And so, beloved, let us be spurred on to faith like Hezekiah. Let us do the reforming that needs to be reformed, even that which nobody before us has done. And when trying circumstances come, do not shrink back in faith. Let Hezekiah be an example to you of his folly in that. Let us rather follow the Lord alone and stand with the King of all kings, the King who is over all kings, even the King of Assyria, even the King of our land now. Let us stand alone with the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your gracious mercy to us, Your people, that we have not to, we don't have to look forward to a king like David, like Hezekiah, but we have a greater king, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who has come in fulfillment of that Davidic covenant back in 2 Samuel 7, who has established a kingdom which is forever, and that we are a part of. We thank You that You have brought us into Your kingdom through the blood of Your Son and through His sacrifice on the cross. And Lord, we would ask that You would give us a faith like David, a faith like Hezekiah, but a faith even greater than that. Father, just as You want of us perfection and holiness, a perfect faith which does not ever doubt, we ask for that faith. We do not like sin. We hate sin. And we know that when we shrink back in faith, that is when we, as we are tempted, we sin. Father, we hate sin. So strengthen our faith. Father, we believe, help our unbelief. Spur us on to holiness. Spur us on to righteousness in Christ alone. We cannot do it ourselves. Only You working in us and through us by His righteousness. Seeing as we come before Your throne, even now as we worship You, see His righteousness, not our own. For our righteousness is as filthy rags before You, apart from Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we praise You that You are the God who has delivered over Your own Son for us. Did not spare Him, but You delivered Him over, so that we in Him might have all things. All things like justification, sanctification, glorification. We have that already guaranteed for us. And so we know that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And nothing can separate us from the love, Your love, that we have from You in Christ. Nothing in all of creation, not even our own selves, can separate us from You. And so, Father, we praise Your holy name. We praise You, we exalt You. We thank You that You have given us so much, even this word. And Father, we pray that as we are tempted, as people in the world tempt us to think of You, the holy God, Yahweh, as just like all other deities. Father, we ask that You would make us stand firm, knowing that You are not the same as any other God, false God, which are not true at all. But You are the Lord God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Maker of all things, Sustainer of all things, Redeemer of Your people, and the Savior of the elect of God, who comes boldly at the right time to save His people from this present evil age, even resurrect our bodies and making us have new glorified bodies, making us enter in to see Jesus face to face with such clarity of which we have never seen anything more clear. Father, make it so. Come soon, as you promise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.